Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It was a mob hit. It was a mob hit in Montana. Did the mafia just pull off a hit job and throw the body in the river here in Montana? Oh, man. You know, yesterday on the show, I meant to share this audio with you. Larry Mayer, the great photographer for the Billings Gazette. Remember, he had that spy balloon photo. He gave us permission to share audio of his interview with the guy near Gardner, this homeowner who had the grizzly encounter. This grizzly bear broke into his house, and so he pulled out his 1911. Anyway, we'll share that audio with you here later in the show. But we've got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joining us here for an unwoke Wednesday. He's stuck in travel hell. He can't get a flight back to Montana, but thankfully he's freeing up some time to be with us here this morning. Johnny, I'm laughing because we were talking off air and you said, oh, yeah, this was like a mob hit in Montana.
Yeah, it looks like there was one particular grizzly over near Yellowstone that didn't pay off his gambling debts or something, because they found him in the Yellowstone River decapitated and minus his paws, just floating there in the river. And then it turns out the story was that it's that same bear that you're talking about, I believe, that tried to break into somebody's home. And for some reason, the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks saw it in the river, decided they would go ahead and put it down while it was in the river. It floats down the river. They go find it, cut its head and its paws off because they don't want to leave that for trophies for anybody, but then also they leave it in the river as just a floating carcass to be polluting the water quality and everything.
Yeah, that's so natural. That's so natural. Fish bait. you know, isn't that crazy? It's like, could you imagine floating the river and all of a sudden this headless, pawless bear carcass comes floating next to you? You imagine being the summer river guide on the Yellowstone explaining that one to your park guests. Don't worry, kids. Totally normal. But apparently, I didn't read that whole story, but I had seen that they did have to kill this grizzly bear because apparently it was just ransacking homes, businesses, and more. It reminds me of when those wolves right on the high school football field in Gardner, you know, just this brazen, they just ripped that, I think it was a bison carcass alive, I can't remember if it was a bison or an elk, but they just ripped this carcass alive right on the high school football field. But, it just shows how bad our federal government is mismanaging things with their wildlife policies right now, too. And they have far too many protections in place, and things are just getting out of control. But, we got John Jackson joining us. We're taking your phone calls and much more. 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Holy biscuits. Did you guys see that video of the explosion at Yellowstone National Park yesterday? That was crazy. Massive cloud of boiling water, steam, mud, and rock fragments sent into the air. People, women and children on the boardwalk went running after initially just being stunned by everything that was taking place, and portions of the boardwalk just absolutely destroyed. It looks like not just one, but even two car bombs went off when you actually watch the video and then see the aftermath. But stand by there. pork chop. We'll get to that story here in just a few more minutes. And also talk a little bit more about the history because, the pork chop geyser had a hydrothermal explosion back in 1989 that was apparently fairly notable. So we'll get to that that one here in just a second, pork chop. Don't you worry. First of all, let's get into some phone calls here. We've got Christy in Lovina kicking things off for us. Christy, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. I was wanting to talk about Kamala Harris and her amazing job and her fighting crime as a DA and Attorney General of California. She's so tough on crime that she fought to keep innocent people in jail.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought I could sense some sarcasm in your voice. Yeah. Wow.
There's a guy named, his last name is Cooper. She actually blocked his request to use advanced DNA testing to try to prove his innocence for murder. I think that's finally been overturned and someone is actually letting him do it, and he might even be exonerated. I can't remember, haven't checked back up on it. But she blocked the testing for the DNA. There's been another guy that was able to prove his innocence and for murder, and she actually fought to keep him in jail, and her reasoning was he took too long to file the paperwork.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, that's how Tulsi Gabbard destroyed her in the 2020 presidential campaign. Tulsi Gabbard, who now, by the way, has left the Democrat Party and has endorsed Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. I believe she's also endorsed Trump, if I'm not mistaken, in the presidential race now. But she destroyed Tulsi Gabbard with the very points that you just mentioned. Or she destroyed Kamala Harris with the points you just mentioned.
Yeah, Mark Levin talked about it a little bit at the beginning of his show last night. And he had like five different people that were innocent that there's a lot of stuff going on where she was okay with sketchy witnesses, paying off witnesses. You can't prove like she personally was doing it, but just her office was known for just gathering evidence in illegal ways. So it's just like that's her character. That's who she is.
Jailing innocent people, but she doesn't want to charge illegal aliens for breaking into this country, and then she wants to give them health care and everything else that we, the people, have to pay for. Christy, great points, great phone call. Thanks so much for calling in. John Jackson, your thoughts. To me, this is a great track record if you're looking at it from the Biden-Harris administration perspective. I mean, what have they been doing the past 3 years? Targeting the innocent and letting the criminals off the hook.
A great, great movie that everyone has to see if you haven't seen it. It's called The Big Short. And it's the true story of everything that led up to the housing crash back in 2008. And as they explained in there, one of the things that made it happen was what they would do was take all these loans that they knew they were bad and wrap them in something else and give them a new name. And like the one guy said, so this new thing, this is basically dog poop wrapped in cat poop. Okay, and they just give it a whole new shiny name and sell it as something all new and different and cool. That's what Kamala Harris is. She's just the extension of the radical left of the Democratic Party. The entire Democrat Party are radical leftists now. Every single one of them. This is just going to be a continuation of the Biden policies.
She is deliberately targeting beef. She is deliberately targeting red meat consumption. So if you're in agriculture in Montana, how in the world could you ever go along with this agenda? And why isn't everybody standing up, kicking and screaming that that they threw the entire process out the window to install her in this palace coup when she will literally put a target on your industry's back? Let's see. Hey, John, did you see what this former Montana Supreme Court justice said in a column that he not only wrote, but somebody actually published, where he basically is justifying the Trump assassination attempt. This is a former Montana Supreme Court justice.
Yep, and that's exact proof of what we just said. You know, even, you know, if you thought for one second that some country lawyer, some good old boy country lawyer that was a Supreme Court justice in the state of Montana was going to be some reasonable Democrat, oh, hell no. I mean, he's just flat out saying that, that's karma. You know, basically that Trump deserved to get shot for things he said and done in the past. They are all the same. Everybody with a D beside their name today in 2024 is the same.
Well, and if you ask me, this is one more reason why nut jobs like him should not be on the Montana Supreme Court, which is why I encourage folks to support the Sons of Montana, Dan Wilson and Corey Swanson for the Montana Supreme Court. Kyle Schmock out of Helena was the first to highlight this crazy op-ed by Justice Nelson. He'll be next on the phone lines right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Oh, let's see. Susan in Missoula. Hey, I saw she was on the phone lines. Call us back in a few minutes, Susan. I'd love to hear from you. In fact, I saw not only that you were at the RNC last week in Milwaukee, but I heard you in a Wall Street Journal podcast, so that was fun. Anyway, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Great to have Kyle Schmock on the phone lines with us here. Kyle serves the majority staff in the Montana State Legislature, in the Montana State Senate. Kyle, first off, good catch. I mean, you're the one who saw this guest opinion column by former Montana Supreme Court Justice Nelson. And this is just absolutely crazy. Trump's chickens were finally coming home to roost, finally reaping what he had sown. I mean, this is just crazy that anybody would write this, that anybody would publish, let alone a former Montana Supreme Court justice. And Kyle, thanks for calling in this morning.
Yeah, and you were quoting there, Aaron, from some of what he wrote, but he kept going even after that. He said, "Alas, sorry, Mr. T," referring to Trump, "no thoughts and prayers for me. I hate gun violence of any kind, but know that being shot at was the blowback from the bad karma." This is a former justice of the Montana Supreme Court, one who's trotted out frequently by the press and by the courts, still to this day, as an authority on the Montana Constitution and the Montana judicial branch of government. He's the one who wrote the decision back in 1999, erroneously saying that Montana's Constitution protects the right to have an abortion. He's still a very widely cited and sourced person. In fact, he's even a party via an amicus brief along with five other former justices in the Held Climate Kids case currently pending before the Montana Supreme Court. And he's, you know, this is not a slouch. He's a former justice. He knows exactly what he's doing. Nowhere in his remarks here in this op-ed did he pause to say he doesn't condone violence, you shouldn't assassinate your political opponents. He didn't say any of those things. He's very deliberately, you know, celebrating or condoning or embracing this attempted murder of a former president.
I wonder, is this getting any coverage, these outrageous remarks by this? Because he's still highly influential. I mean, this nut job is highly influential, as you point out, with the current radical left-wing activists on the Montana Supreme Court. It's getting national attention. Libs of TikTok says this. Libs of TikTok highlighted Justice Nelson, calling him, quote, another highly educated, radicalized person celebrating politically motivated violence against a U.S. president. That's gotten over 500,000 views right now. I checked out the Billings Gazette website. I checked out KTVQ, the Montana Television Network. I haven't seen any of them write a story about this and these outrageous remarks. Have you?
No, and I don't expect to, frankly, unfortunately, given the pattern we've seen from the Montana media. This isn't the first time that Justice Nelson has employed violent rhetoric. Last year during the legislative session, leadership in both chambers had to send out a press release condemning him for giving a speech in the Montana Capitol Rotunda, just feet away from lawmakers, to giving a speech to a crowd, in which he was talking about policy differences with the legislature and the governor and the attorney general being, quote, a fight to the death, a jihad, and a war. And legislative leadership, again, across the board, both chambers of the legislature sent out this long press release condemning this. And I think the only media entity that covered it at all at the time was some combination of you and Peter Christian over at KGVO in Missoula.
Yeah, Peter
complete
does a great
radio
job.
Silence.
Yeah.
Complete radio silence from everybody else. You know, I had a conversation with one of the main reporters for Lee Newspapers, which is the largest newspaper chain in the state, asking if they were going to cover this. And that reporter told me, no, it's not newsworthy because he's a former elected official. He's not a current elected official. And this type of violent rhetoric is so common these days. So, no, we don't really think it's printworthy.
Wow. Yeah.
And now we see him escalating to an entirely new degree.
In other words, it doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't fit their narrative.
No.
But meanwhile, if there was some random conservative that attended a breakfast for the GOP that lives in eastern Montana, boy, they would jump on what they deem salacious or outrageous remarks to use that person to paint the entire picture of the entire Montana Republican Party.
Well, that's not hypothetical. We can see this. There's been radio silence now twice on Justice Nelson. Kev Ham, who until he lost in the primary, was a Democratic candidate for the Eastern Congressional District. He's tweeted for years very violent rhetoric about how people who oppose mask mandates should be sent to work in the COVID wards and die, and similar type of kind of wishing death upon his political opponents. He was a candidate for office. Montana Press never covered anything crazy he said there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, again, after the attempted assassination of President Trump, Ashley Nerbovig, the former political reporter for the Montana Television Network, tweeted out, "Make America AIM Again." That was her response.
And nobody covered that either, I think, other than maybe me and maybe Peter Christian and other friends in radio. Typically, you know, maybe we didn't see it in a website version, but they probably talked about it over the air. Because you're right, if it wasn't for folks in radio, you would never get the other side or just the basic information some of the times.
Yeah. Now compare this radio silence and all these radical leftist calls to violence from the Montana media with how they treated J.D. Hall. If you recall, J.D. Hall was a conservative pastor out of Sydney.
Yeah.
Two years ago, ran a conservative blog, very active in politics. And he made some really, like, questionable, not good kind of comments as well. There was an attorney that he was in a legal battle with. He stuck the attorney's name on his wall between some European mounts of deer, you know, kind of insinuating another head mounted on the wall with that attorney's name. Certainly not condoning a lot of what J.D. Hall did. But the press's reaction to that was like wall-to-wall coverage for 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Profiles, digging into his history. Like, he was bankrupted through court and defamation cases and basically driven out of the state.
Yeah, they made it look like he was like, they made it look like he was like the leader of the Montana Republican Party, like he was like a U.S. senator or something. And not only do they fail to cover Justice Nelson and Kevin Ham and these other outrageous remarks by and then the conspiracy theorists by, you know, Jessica Carjala and others, but they've refused to even cover the crazy things being said by Liberal Senator John Tester, the crazy votes by Liberal Senator John Tester. Kyle Schmock, thanks for your time. Great insight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. John Jackson, thanks for sidekicking with us here this morning. Well, I think this is another surprise moment, right?
Jessica Karjala. We haven't talked about her in a while, have we, Aaron? Do you remember my interaction with her on Twitter?
Well, she blocked me on Twitter, but people were sending me screenshots when she was suggesting that Donald Trump orchestrated the bullet that nearly killed him. I mean, wow.
She claimed to be Native American and put up a picture of one of her ancestors.
That's right.
And with one of my Twitter followers then quickly traced that picture to somebody in Virginia that didn't have anything to do with her. The woman is not only a complete nutbag, but she's an outright liar. And when she got called on it online, she quickly blocked me and then erased every single tweet that
I know, like, because I was trying to carry a conversation with her, right? She was a state representative from the Billings area. But the moment that we were like, wait a minute, you're like Elizabeth Warren, you are claiming to be Native American. And that got us blocked on Twitter. Like, if this is your heritage and you're proud of your heritage, why are you blocking people on Twitter over it, right? That was weird.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, when you have a Democrat there in red state Montana who publicly pretends to be some kind of moderate, boy, when you see who they really are, just like Karjala, just like this judge, total, absolute nutbags. And I don't mean just far left. I mean, like, mentally unstable far left people.
Like still wearing masks, yelling at you in a grocery store, mentally unstable. All right, John, hold that thought for just a second. Kamala Harris, we had that caller from Levina earlier talking about crazy Kamala. This is crazy. So she wants to be president, but she can't be presidential. She is so in bed with these pro-Hamas sympathizers, she refuses to show up and greet Prime Minister Netanyahu from Israel. And then she won't even attend his joint address to Congress, which I think is tonight. Did you hear what John King on CNN had to say? They were talking about potential Kamala Harris running mates, and he says this.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket, but certainly some of our voters here in Pennsylvania said, hey, we like Governor Shapiro. Give him a look. Also told Tildo Anderson that some other governors, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona.
All right. Anyway, let's hold it right there. He's Jewish. That poses a risk. What in the world? These people, like, actually think this stuff and then actually say it.
They don't have any problem saying the quiet part out loud anymore. And see, the reason is they've imported so many of these Muslim crazies into the United States under Obama and now under Biden that they occupy big swaths of some of these big blue states. They're the people out there protesting. They're the people, the reason the barricades are being put up around Capitol Hill today, around Netanyahu's speech. They're the reason for all of it. They're the reason that Biden was being protested and they're so worried about this election.
Yeah, good point. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, Northern Livestock Video Auction concluded its summertime classic auction, offering over 116,000 head. Auctioneer Ty Thompson shares the results.
You know, we had some of the little 400-pound calves bring up to 415 to 420, and then some of those calves laying in the high fours to just 500 pounds that bring anywhere from 350 all the way up to 370. And then as you got into the 5.5 weight calves, 325 to 340. Few sets of those programmed 5.5 weight calves up into the mid 40s. The heifer calves took a good jump. We had a lot of those high four, low five weight heifers from 305 to 320. Some of them replacement types up to 330, which is quite a bit better than last month. Yearlings all day today, light eight weight steers all the way up to 275, 280. Get into the nine weight steers. They were mostly 245 to 255 with the programmed steers up into the 270s. And the heifers, we had a tremendous amount of heifers, and those low 8-weight heifers would get up into the 250s, and most of the upper 8 and low 9-weight heifers, 238 to 248, would catch the bulk of them. Big demand on big numbers.
Again, that was auctioneer Ty Thompson, who reminds ranchers that the consignment deadline for the Northern Livestock Video Auction early fall preview will be August 2nd, with that sale taking place August 19th and 20th. I'm Wayne Northlund.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I was trying to take advantage of every second there before the break. And, you know, since John's on the phone lines with us today, instead of in studio, when you're a guest on the phone, for some reason, you can't hear the bumper music. So I was trying to take advantage of every second there. But, John, before we get to our next caller on the phone lines, I did want to get you to finish your thought there on Kamala Harris, and not just how crazy Kamala is, but the Democrat Party base right now. And we see this in Missoula. Remember, was it during Cat Grizz last year, or was it another football game? And these radical leftists, painted the M above Washington Grizzlies Stadium with the Palestinian flag colors. But basically, they're openly acknowledging, and what John King just did there on CNN, they're openly acknowledging that their party base right now is so racist and so anti-Semitic that she can't put a Jewish guy on the ticket because their party has now become so anti-Semitic. I mean, what in the world?
And see, they know this one fact. The Muslim voters here in the United States and in the big blue cities and the big blue areas, they are key voting blocks. And these people are truly what they call monolithic as a voting block. They will vote exactly how their leaders and their imams tell them. You remember what Jihad Rashida up there in Detroit, she got 100,000 voters to vote for other in the presidential primary. In other words, got them to vote against Joe Biden just as a lesson. Well, see, they can wield that against whoever they want to. That's why it really scares them. That's why they God forbid, they can't have a Jewish guy on that ticket.
Yeah, so crazy. All right. Travis, that's John on line one. Okay. All right, there we go. Yep. All right, let's see. Next up, we got on line two, Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Okay, Aaron, you know, there's one thing that, you know, I said before, you know, who's behind the curtain, okay? It's a thing that's behind the curtain. So when you really look at it, these people cannot change. Kamala, she cannot change. John Kerry, where is he? These people cannot change. They have a warped sense of ideas about democracy. And on Carl Hippig front line on Newsmax this week, finally hit the nail on the head. And he said they're lying and circumventing. And that's what they're doing. So if you look up the word circumvent, it's referring to get around. They tend to get around to avoid, to evade, bypass, or sidestep, and many other reasons. So that's what they're doing when they talk about immigration, abortion, foreign policies, economics. I could go on and on and on.
That's right.
So their whole warped sense of ideas about what democracy is the same thing they're changing into overthrow the Constitutional Republic.
That's right. So well said, Chris. Circumventing. And it was like the word that Evelyn Pyburn used earlier in the week, how this whole thing has been orchestrated. Chris just had a great word there, circumventing. They are circumventing the entire process. They are circumventing democracy. They are circumventing 100,000 roughly Montana Democrat voters that voted in the primary by ignoring those election results. But as Chris just pointed out there, these are the same people that want to circumvent the Second Amendment. These are your Second Amendment rights. These are the people that want to circumvent the First Amendment rights. These are the people that want to circumvent the entire rule of law, that are circumventing our southern border, allowing terrorists and illegal aliens to flood into this country. They are circumventing it all. And John, back to John Jackson here, I think that also ties back in with Kamala Harris here as well here, is that, as Chris said, She can't change her her stripes here, because you know what she should be doing right now is pretending to look presidential, showing up to greet Bibi Netanyahu, being there while Bibi Netanyahu addresses Congress. But she can't do it because she is fundamentally a radical leftist.
You know what makes me laugh now is you've seen the tact the narrative over the last 24 hours is about her being a prosecutor. And she's that's her background. She's a prosecutor, and she's going to prosecute the case against Trump. And my God, Trump is just trembling in his boots over the notion of having to debate Kamala Harris, because she's just so wicked smart and just a great prosecutor. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Have you watched this woman for 4 years? I mean, she had a brief piece of nasty that was at least articulate when she went after Kavanaugh in 2018. But since then, have you seen a single thing that would lead you to believe she's some kind of a brain surgeon?
92% of her staff quit. They bailed on her. They fled because she was apparently so awful to work for. You know what I mean? I mean, that is telling you something. And TheFederalist.com has documented that, by the way. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Bill in the Flathead. Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Aaron. My crush used to say words mean things. They have said multiple times, we want to fundamentally change this country. The election in 2020 was a slap in the face to MAGA, to Trump. The only reason they won in they lost in 16 was because they didn't cheat enough. They all this is, it's a scream to hide the cheat. That's all this is. It doesn't matter who is elected as long as they're part of the swamp.
That's why these election integrity measures are so critical, so important. Thanks for the call, and hope to see you tomorrow. I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Clubhouse Lounge in Kalispell. All right, I'm looking at the clock here. Still a lot of ground to cover. First off, John, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I found something here this morning that I think you'll like, Aaron, is that Elizabeth Warren, our friend Pocahontas, she has found the biggest accomplishment of Kamala Harris's record as the vice president, and that was that she was the first vice president to visit an abortion clinic. So we have seized on her greatest accomplishment. That's her record.
Holy biscuits. Back to the big biscuit blowout yesterday at Yellowstone National Park. I was joking. My friend Ron out of Kalispell, Ron Catlett, was commenting on this biscuit basin explosion at Yellowstone yesterday. And so I kind of had to joke around. I mean, look at how crazy our world is. I mean, would it not surprise you if there was some major eruption in Yellowstone, given all the other crazy news in the world? But I said, Kamala speaks, and now this. Yellowstone is spewing out hot rocks and steam and mud everywhere, rock fragments in the air. But, you know, they have had these hydrothermal explosions before. They happen almost every year in Yellowstone. A recent, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, and notable hydrothermal explosion occurred in 1989 at Pork Chop Geyser in Norris Geyser Basin. The remains of this explosion still clearly visible today as jumbled chunks of rock 15 feet across Pork Chop Central Spring. In the 1880s and the early 1890s, a series of powerful hydrothermal explosions and geyser eruptions occurred at Excelsior Geyser in the Midway Geyser Basin. Some of the explosions hurled large rocks as far as 50 feet. You know, John, I wonder, back in the 1890s, I wonder if they just blamed it all on climate change back then.
This is great video and it's great news and all that, but like the people are saying, this is nothing out of the ordinary for Yellowstone Park. And like I said before, I enjoy that. I appreciate that the caldera is letting off its steam on a pretty regular basis. I want it to do that. I don't want it to cook all that up and hold it and hold it and hold it until you finally have a big bang.
So I got a message on our Montana Talks app from Mikey in Billings. He agrees that these hydrothermal explosions in Yellowstone are fairly common, But he says that these explosions have no effect on letting off pressure that could lead to huge volcanic eruptions that form the Yellowstone caldera. It would be interesting to chat with the folks at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory to kind of give us their official take on this. I did think it's interesting that they say this, quote, this is from the USGS, quote, it may take a first, Yellowstone National Park staff are familiar with hydrothermal hazards and are assessing the situation now with more information to come. It may take a little time for the hydrothermal system in the area to reach a new equilibrium and smaller events are possible. So if you're going to visit the park, check for closures ahead of time and don't hesitate if you're on the boardwalk when things start to go boom. Back to John Jackson, the Joker, and the grisly encounter after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks to Larry Miller, the great photographer with the Billings Gazette, for sharing this audio with us and giving us permission to share this audio as well. There was a that grizzly that John Jackson was talking about earlier in the hour, the headless, pawless grizzly carcass that was floating down the river. The grizzly killed near Yellowstone had been trapped several times for research. But anyway, Brett French's report here says this: a grizzly bear shot by a state wildlife official in the Yellowstone River on the morning of July 18th had been captured three times within Yellowstone National Park as part of their IGBST efforts. Anyway, apparently this bear had been causing all sorts of troubles, raiding homes, raiding businesses, raiding outbuildings, raiding coolers, garbage cans, and more. Chester Evett, who lives in the Maiden Basin area where the bear was killed, had the big Bruin knock open his front door 2 days before it died. Evett fired over the bear's head several times with his 1911, scaring the bear out. But, of course, the bear still went on to raid other neighbors' homes. Here's the audio.
And all of a sudden, crash, the door swings open. As the door is opening, I pull out my 1911, and just like this, because I can't get my left arm up, and I discharge the weapon as I'm extending it out. It's what I teach my students. And I stop. I literally, just I realize it's a bear, I raised it up just enough not to hit the bear, because I didn't know if I'd go to jail or not. You know, it's a grizzly. And I discharge numerous rounds, and the bear turns and runs back down over that hill that I showed you out there. And as that's happening, I get up and engage, go forward, engage with my pistol. In case he comes back, I don't want him to hit me and attack. And he stops about 10 yards down there and stands and growls at me. I start dialing 911 because earlier today they had a conversation with bear management, and I do all the Army work for bear management, so we interact a lot. And he said, you call 911, you have a bear incident.
All right. Yeah, that's part of that audio. And, of course, full video is on the Billings Gazette's website. Thanks again to Larry Mayer for sharing that with us. But John Jackson, hopefully you could hear that audio while you were parked on hold here. I could just see you sitting in your cabin there in western Montana, you know, tweeting up a storm, maybe doing a Spaces podcast with your buddy, the Mighty Human Z, and all of a sudden, boom, the door opens and there's the grizzly staring you in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend engaging with a grizzly with a handgun if you've got another choice. Now, maybe this guy didn't have another choice, but like what I keep in my cabin is my 12-gauge shotgun, and it is stoked with slugs. And 0 to 20 yards, that's going to drop even the biggest bear. But you know what got me about that story was they shoot this thing in the river, the fish and wildlife people, then and then they let it float down the river. Then they go and and cut off its head and cut off its paws because they don't want trophies to be taken, but then leave it in the river because they say they couldn't retrieve it. Well, you guys obviously got to it. You were able to cut its head off. Why can't you pull it out of the river? Can you imagine being a guy 100 yards down the river filling up your canteen there, and you don't know that they've left a rotten carcass in the river right above you?
Well, it's like a Louis, straight out of a Louis L'Amour book here, you know, just clunk, clunk, clunk with your canteen. Sammy, Mama, you know, J.D. Vance on the river. Mama, come out and see this now. Come on now. Yeah. All right, let's see. I think we got one more caller on the phone lines, our great Cuban-American friend, Mario in Glendive. Mario, great to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to mention on this piece, Donald Trump did say that there are Russian submarine around Cuba with very high weapons, and they're only 60 miles away from the coast, you know, and nobody's talking about it.
Spy bases and much more. The communist Chinese, the Russians, right on our doorstep, huh?
I know, yeah, I don't like that. Are they facing in muscles, or, you know, because Donald Trump is being praised? We take Cuba over, man.
We can't see the transition back to Trump happen fast enough, but he's got to have the Senate too, doesn't he, Mario? That's why, man, I tell you, this U.S. Senate race here in Montana is so important. By the way, Mario, I think we're going to have another great Cuban-American join us on the show tomorrow. I think the coach from Whitefish may join us. I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. That'll be great. Let's see. John Jackson, man, about less than a minute to go here. Your thoughts.
Well, you know, Aaron, the best Cuban that you have ever met in life is Tony Montana. So I want you to get Tony Montana on the show, and he can talk to you about the drug problem and also the illegal problem.
That's fake news. Fake news. The best Cuban-American in Montana is Mario in Montana. So we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that front, you know. Let's see. Okay, well, we're almost out of time, but John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, you can find him on X.com, at Private Joker US, PVT Joker US. I'll be in Kalispell. We'll be live from the Clubhouse Lounge, an indoor golf simulator. This place looks really cool. So come down, work on your golf game, get out of the smoke, get out of the heat, get ready for the Governor's Cup. And while you're there, you can come join us on the microphone. So live from the Clubhouse Lounge in Kalispell tomorrow.